Hey, tonight is Monday, October 16th. This is the resumption of the Moed Katan Shir. We're beginning the third perek on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Elul Megalchen.
Okay, Rabotai. We're on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, beginning of the third perek. Says the Mishnah. The Elu Medalchen B'Moed. These people are permitted to shave during the Moed. I translate the word Megalchen as to shave. We will see Tosfos who discusses whether taking a haircut is permissible as well, but everybody agrees that these people might take a shave. Haba Mimdina Sayam, somebody who arrived on Chol HaMoed from an excursion, a travel, and we'll see what exactly, how far that has to be. Umi Beis Hashivya, somebody who is released from captivity and arrives home on Chol HaMoed. V'hayotzei mi Beis HaAsurin, somebody who leaves jail, is released from jail on Chol HaMoed. V'haminuda Shehitiru lo chachamim, somebody was placed into cherem, nidui, and was released from his nidui on Chol HaMoed. You're placed into cherem typically for not following a Bezdin's edict or failure to follow proper protocol that had been legislated by the town council. So the way they somehow coerced you to do it was by putting you into cherem, which meant that no one was permitted to have any communication with you, no social or business interaction, and the person was released of his nidui on Chol HaMoed. The simple situation is that he finally was mifayes, he appeased the person who brought the suit against him to the Beis Din. So if it's somebody, for example, who refused to give a get to his wife, and Beis Din put him into cherem, he finally acceded and gave the get, and as a result, they released him of the cherem. But when you're in nidui, you're not permitted to shave, nor are you permitted to take a haircut. So he was released on Chol HaMoed, and as a result, he can engage in shaving on Chol HaMoed. V'chein mi shenish'al l'chacham v'hutar. Somebody made a neder, and that neder was released. He asked on Chol HaMoed to be released of the neder, and he was finally released, and it obviously had something to do with not shaving for one reason or another. And the common denominator of all of these was that it was impossible for him to shave on Erev Yontif. Because as the Gemara will explain right off the bat, the reason why you are not permitted to shave is because technically there is nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with taking a shave on Chol HaMoed. But the Rabbanan legislated he should not be lazy and assume, you know what? If I can shave on Chol HaMoed, I'm not going to take a shave on Erev Yontif. And he will enter the Chag looking somewhat slovenly. So in order to avoid that, they said you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. All of these people here that the Mishnah had mentioned, none of them could have shaved on Erev Yontif. Why could they have? Could they not have shaved on Erev Yontif? Either they were in prison, they were too far away, they were on the boat, or midst of travel, and it's difficult to shave in the midst of travel. There's no barber, no local barber around in the desert or on the boat, or you had not yet been released of the cherem because you didn't pay your taxes, you didn't give the get yet. whatever it is. And for a neder, let's assume there was no chacham around on Erev Yom Tov to release you of the neder, or you didn't think of the Pesach that was necessary in order to trigger the chacham's mind that he should release you from the neder. Because you don't just release a person from a neder. He has to have a Pesach, an excuse why he or she wants to be released from the neder. And if you don't provide that, you can't be released from the nedarim. So his Pesach came about on Chol HaShamoed. Therefore, the first time that he had the opportunity to be released was on Chol HaShamoed. Since he could not have shaved on Erev Yom Tov, Chachamim allow him to shave on Erev Yom Tov.
Shaving back then was a big process, right?
Yes.
So was there any restriction? So they don't care about second day's Yom Tov. That's irrelevant, because I assume the guy shaved once before the first day, and that's good for the whole Yom Tov, not like nowadays.
That's correct.
So is there any restrictions in terms of 30 days before a chag? Like when does chag? They want you to be looking nice first day Yom Tov, right?
Yeah, it would be better to do it on Erev Yom Tov, but if you had a chance any time.
But there's no time frames before.
No. So too the Hanazir, the Hametzora. Mitumaso l'taharasa. A Nazir, the mitzvah of the Torah is that he must shave under certain conditions of terminating his nazirut. And a Metzora, somebody who's a leper, there the Torah says, Ve'gilach es kol es rosho, or Ve'ilach es kol sa'aro, he has to shave everything. He's not only shaving his beard, but even shaving his head, and we'll see how Tosfos handles that in relationship to all the others. So all of those people fall into this simple category that they could not have had the opportunity to shave on Erev Yom Tov, and as a result are not included in the Gzeira Mitarabanan not to shave on Chol HaShamoed. Because here we know exactly why they legislated this. The Gemara itself says what I just told you, Shelo Yikanis L'Regel Kishu Menuvah. So under those circumstances, they themselves built in that if there was a decent excuse as to why you did not shave on Erev Yom Tov, we will allow you to shave on Chol HaShamoed. Fine. So now let's just fill in some of the details about all of these things that the Mishnah mentions. So, number one, if you take the handout for a second. So the first source is the Magen Avraham in Simin Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph. I bracketed Se'iv Vav for you, where the Mechaber quoted the halacha that somebody who comes Mimdinas Hayam. So the Magen Avraham says, Shelo ba b'yishuv ad chol hamoed. He was traveling and he did not arrive from his travels into a populated town until Chol HaShamoed. Mashma, it appears from the Mishnah, the im haya be'erev yom tov b'makom yishuv asur ligaleach b'chol hamoed. That if he actually was traveling but arrived home on Erev Yom Tov, any time on Erev Yom Tov, we'll soon see those who say that he arrived, you know, right at Shkiyas HaChamach. So it's already too late to shave because it's Yom Tov. So under those circumstances, he's allowed to shave. But if he arrived any time before Shkiyas HaChamach on Erev Yom Tov, in theory he could have shaven on Erev Yom Tov. Under those circumstances, says the Magen Avraham, it is asur for him to shave on Chol HaShamoed. Venerally, the im haya beiz yamim o gimel yamim kodim yantiv b'yishuv u be'erev yantiv lo haya b'yishuv mutal galeach b'chol hamoed. So in relationship to your question, Moshe, he was in a populated area with a good barber 2 days or 3 days before Yom Tov. And now he travels on Erev Yom Tov. So one could have said that, you know what, he could have taken a shave, you know, 2 days before, a day before he left, or 2 days before he left. Says the Magen Avraham, that's of no issue whatsoever. As long as you are not around in a place where you could have shaven on Erev Yom Tov itself, even though you were in a place where you could have shaven to a day before that and a day before that, nonetheless, you are allowed to shave.
So he wants you to have an Erev Yom Tov on that day, Magen Avraham.
That's not what he wants, but he says that's when the Chachamim set up their structure. If you were not around on the last day, you can shave on Chol HaShavuot.
So you had an acceptable excuse.
Correct. That's your acceptable excuse.
They don't want a shaving on Chol HaMoed before 7 days Yom Tov, right?
The official we will talk about that. Nobody in the Gemara ever mentions that. No one. Not any Rishon, not any Rambam, not any Gemara talk about shaving before Chol HaMoed, except for the Rav.
Before the second day Yom Tov.
Before the second day Yom Tov. That is correct. Yes, because as you said, indicated earlier, when no one ever shaved every day. At best, they used to shave once a week. So if it's once a week, if you take a shave Erev Yom Tov, you can last for 7 days, and then you'll take a shave again, so you don't look anything unusual on Chol HaShavuot or the last days of Yom Tov. You look like a regular person who does. Coming up to his haircut or shave time. However, the Magen Avraham does add something. Umihu dafka kishiba mimdinas hayom. The only time that we allow you to take a haircut is if you are traveling, as the Mishnah says, mimdinas hayom. Now, what is mimdinas hayom? So, what he is referring to is the way Rashi in Gittin defines Medinas Hayom. So the Mishnah says that Hamei Viget Medinas Hayom Sorach Shiyomar B'fonei Nechtav U'B'fonei Nechtav. In relationship to Gittin, if you there it's talking about if you come from overseas. That's what it means. Chutz La'aretz, overseas. So if you come overseas, under those circumstances, everybody knows that you came from such a great distance. Everybody knows that you were in no position to shave. Therefore, we allow it on Chol HaShavuot. Va'az mifarsam amilsa. Aval b'derech acher lo. But if you're coming from another town, you're not coming from another town in your own country. You're not coming from a great distance, from Medinas Hayav, or traveling the sea, from Chutz La'aretz. Under those circumstances, you are not permitted to shave, even though you were not in a terribly conducive location to shave on Erev Yom Tov, because you were on the road. Magen Avraham takes the hard line in that regard. The Mishnah says Medinas Hayam, it means literally only Medinas Hayam, somebody who travels across an ocean in order to get there, according to Gittin. However, not everybody agrees with him. I didn't quote this. The tour cites Rabbi Chil ben Pariz, the Rush's brother, Rabbi Chil ben Pariz, who says, "Kol derech richoka nikreit medinas hayam." Any distant travel, whether you cross the sea, whether it's in Chutz La'aretz or within Eretz Yisrael, somebody who travels in Eretz Yisrael from Be'er Sheva to Haifa, that's also a long trip. A long trip. Even to Yerushalayim, it's a long trip. So that already is considered enough of Medinas Hayam, and it's already Mifarsum Amilsa. People know that if you left from Be'er Sheva and you're coming to Yerushalayim, that is considered sufficiently distant, and you would be permitted to take a haircut then on Chol HaShavuot. And the Ritva goes even one step further, that as long as you come from out of town, even if it's not a great distance, if you were out of this particular city, and now you travel on Erev Yom Tov to another, or right before the day of Erev Yom Tov, you travel from one city to the next, even though it's only one day's worth of travel, that's enough. If you are engaged in travel on Erev Yom Tov, you are entitled to shave on Chol HaShamoed. So there are an extreme position, that's the Magen Avraham, who translates the word Medina Sayam literally, meaning traverses the sea. Or you have Rabbi Chiyom Liparez, that Medina Sayam is just a synonym for Derech Rechoka, a real type of distance travel. And I might want to use the convenient definition that the Mishneh in Psachim gives us to define what the word Derech Rechoka means in the Chumash, in Parshas Baal Oscha, when entitling you to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni if you were not in the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach in order to bring a Korban Pesach. The Torah says, Ish Ish Kiyeh Tomei Lo Nefesh O B'Derech Rechoka. So Rabbi Akiva says, what is Derech Rechoka? Min Modi'in Ulechutz. If you are the distance from Modi'in to Yerushalayim. So how many people have come from Modi'in to Yerushalayim and made the right turn right up 443 from Modi'in? There's a big sign, it's right if you get onto 443. How many kilometers is Yerushalayim away? Well, you remember? 28 kilometers. That's considered Derech Rechoka, and the Torah expects you to walk that in one day. If you are at a greater distance, that's Derech Rechoka. I don't know if the Be'achil Miparis had that in mind, but he writes, Kol Derech Rechoka Nikreit Medina Sayyad. And then the Ritva, who says, no, as long as you're out of town, and I think I do have the Ritva.
Page 2.
Where it's bracketed, Haba Medina Sayyam, Perush. Kol Sheba Mechutz Le'ir Kari Medina Sayam V'af Alpi She'eino Makom Rachok. As long as you came from out of the city, you had to travel in between two cities, and as that's already considered V'eino Domeh L'hahu D'Reish Meseches Gittin. It's not to be compared to the standard that is used in Meseches Gittin. Meseches Gittin, it means Medina Sayyam, means you traveled from Chutzlar. It's not from one city to the next in Eretz Yisrael. You just happen to be out of town that particular day. So the Ritva clearly takes a much more lenient position that as long as you are Chutz Le'ir on Erev Yom Tov, you are now permitted to shave on Chol HaShamoed. On Chol HaShamoed. Now there is another statement that is attributed to the Rabbi Chiyom Liparez. Again, it's cited by the Beit Yosef in his commentator to the Torah. He says that psychological preoccupation also might be a poter and allowing you. And he uses the psychological thing when you're traveling a relatively short distance. But the distance is that you're going to have to leave any type of city dwelling whatsoever. And as you well know, traveling in between cities was always dangerous. Exactly. So if you are concerned about planning a good route and so on and so forth, making sure that you have an adequate supply of water with you, that tirda is enough to exempt you if you left the day before Erev Yom Tov. That is enough, even though distance-wise it might be relatively short. However, most other Rishayim do not take that into consideration, that the psychological, because if you were in the city, you know, that's just too bad. Don't tell me you're nervous take your haircut before you leave, and that's it. But the Yechima Pariz does make that particular point. Now, several Rishonim deal with a technical point on the Mishnah. If you remember, Rashi, at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, when a new Parsha begins with a Vav, Ve'ele HaMishpatim Asher Tosif Livnehem, who remembers Rashi's opening remark on that Pasuk? Vav Mosif Ala Rishonim. That if it doesn't say Ele HaMishpatim, but it says Ve'ele, so it's a continuation of that which we just left off with. So therefore Rashi says, Ma le'el misinai, just as the Aseret HaDibrot recorded in Parshas Yisro are obviously given misinai, af elu misinai, so too all of the laws of Mishpat, and in fact the entire Torah, was given at Sinai. So if it says ve'elu megalchen b'moed, not elu megalchen b'moed, what connection is there to the previous perek that we now start this particular perek with such a phrase? Why do we start the perek with this type of thing? So take a look at the top Tosfos in the Mishnah. Tosfos is the first one to discuss this. Says Tosfos, Ve'elu megalchen b'moed, mishum detana be'idich pirkin, Varim she'osin l'tzorech hamoed kumo mochrei peiros dina'asim kedin. The previous parak, the last couple of blot that we read, dealt with certain activities that Chachamim allowed on Chol Shemoed. We spent enough time on those type of activities. Under what circumstances we allow it, under what circumstances we don't allow it. So now, they are also going to be discussing not only those activities, but even something that might necessarily constitute an absolute malacha. If you were to take a haircut or a shave on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, what isur malacha would you violate? What isur malacha would you violate if you cut your hair with a what?
Kotzer
is a good guess, but it's kotzer is only by gedulei karka.
Tearing.
Korea? No. Something a little better than that.
Oser?
No. Gozes. Gozes. Shearing. So when you shear the wool, you take something that is attached to the animal and you shear it off. So, cutting your hair, it's attached to you, cutting your beard, therefore the Gemara says it's asur mishum gziza.
What? Well,
gozes,
you're doing it for the wool.
Okay, here, it's a good question. It's a good question. I'm not saying it's not, I didn't look at the... It's a good question. So, here, says Tosfos, hu adin, also, kitani nami, ve'elu na'asin, shelo kedin litzorech hamoed. These things are really wrong. You should not be taking a haircut and a shave on Chol Shemoed, at least a shave on Chol Shemoed. Why should you not? Because the rabbi said you shouldn't. Why shouldn't you? Because we want you to enter the Yom Tov looking nice and groomed properly. So you should not be shaving on Chol Shemoed. Well, these people have been given a license to shave on Chol Shemoed. So just as in the first parak, there are people who engage in certain activities which we would generally not approve of on Chol Shemoed, but under certain conditions we allow those activities to take place, so too this parak will also list certain activities which we generally might have prohibited, but under certain conditions we will allow it. Kacha omrim hatosafot.
That analogy doesn't work too well. We never particularly allow a complete malacha to happen.
Okay, so we will talk about that in just a few minutes. Whether or not Tosfos will make a we're going to learn another Tosfos. Tosfos will make a statement that is outlandish. Totally outlandish. We'll see in a few minutes. But it's a good question. It's Good question. Yeah. The Ritva says that the connection is somewhat different. We learned the major category in the second parak of Moed Katan about Dover HaOved. That if you do not engage in a certain activity, it will lead to what? Enormous financial loss. Under those circumstances, you're allowed to do it when? On Chol HaShamoed. But who remembers one of the stipulations to enable you to engage in a Dover HaOved?
Terrible.
What?
It could not have been.
Correct. It could not have been done before. So we allow certain activities. Let's assume you just... let's take the first mission in Moed Katan about mashkin, about watering certain fields. So if there are certain fields that if you don't water, they're not subject to rain. The rain allocation in Eretz Yisrael is rather limited. And the way your field was situated, it was not available, you know, you're not getting runoff waters or anything like that. So you had to water it. But it's only if you could not have watered it earlier. But if you could have watered on Chol HaShamoed, we're not allowing it. Even though it leads to an enormous financial loss. So too here. If you could have taken the haircut, the shave, before Yantiv, under those circumstances, we will not allow you to engage on Chol HaShamoed. So the common denominator for the Vav is the fact that the Chachamim will be very meticulous and careful and examine. Could you have done it on Erev Yom Tov? It will be also on Chol HaShamoed. Even though the reasons will continue to apply, you'll look like a manuvel the rest of the Yom Tov, too bad. And only if it was impossible to do it on Erev Yom Tov, will we allow it. That's why the Ritva says, the Mishnah makes this connection to the previous parak.
Are we going to say Devar Oved only applies to stuff on Erev Yantif?
What is that?
Devar Oved is only on Erev Yantif? So if you could have done the work 2 days before Yantif, but Erev Yantif you couldn't do it, then it's Mutar and Chol HaMoed?
Yes, as long as you didn't deliberately, if you remember that, but you didn't deliberately say, I'm leaving it over for Yantif, for Chol HaMoed. If you wanted to do it on Yantif, on 2 days before, and it could have been done there. Now something happens, we will grant you the exemption.
But the haircut's not like that. The haircut, if according to Ritva, if you're not there...
That's correct. Yeah.
Is the shaving different because it's for the Kavod Yantiv or also only for the person?
Okay, so now we're going to talk about that in 2 seconds. Talk about the 2 seconds. Yeah. So take a look at the Tosfos on the top of the page. On Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. It's a long Tosfos, but let's read it. It's important. Umenude ushenishal al nidrel. The Yerushalmi makshe, the Yerushalmi asks the following question. Hani lama hitiru. Why did they allow the menude? That was the person who was put into Cherem, and the person who was Matir Neder, why did they allow them? Halo Pasha, Shelo Ba Lifnei Hamoed, Lifnei Chachamim Lahatir. Why did they come to be released of their Neder, Erev Yantiv? Why didn't he come fulfill that which the Chachamim wanted him to do on Erev Yantiv? Don't be in action. Listen to what the Chachamim say. And so it's partially their fault that they were released on Chol HaShamoed. So why we should make an accommodation for them? Answers to this is Umishani Shekolulo Shloshim Yom Shel Nidui B'Moed De'ein Nidui Pachos Mishloshim Yom. So Tosfos comes up with something which is challenged by virtually every Rishon. Tosfos makes up his own law and says there is no such thing as nidui less than 30 days. Doesn't happen. So You could have come to a chacham 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, erev yantiv. He's not going to release you from the cheirem until minimum of 30 days have lapsed. When do the 30 days lapse? On Chol HaShemoed. So therefore, there's no kasha. Why didn't he come? Because it would have been a waste of time. That's what Tosfos claims. All Rishayim challenge Tosfos, claim that you fabricated a halacha. Because the halacha is that when it comes to nidui, cheirem, as soon as you appease the party who you have wronged, under those circumstances, matirin lo miyad, you release him immediately from the nidui. So if the guy gives the get, if he pays his taxes for the township, whatever it is, you release him right away. So in theory, he could have, if this question is going to bother you, Tosis' answer is not an answer because it's against the halacha. And therefore, as I said, every Rushan attacks him and says, Heichon Matsinu, in fact, we have a long-standing halacha that if a person does what he is supposed to do, under those circumstances, you release him right away. In fact, many of you know, may have looked at some notes in your Kol Nidrei Machzer, what the phrase means, Anu Matirin Lehispalel Im Ho'avar Yanim, the introduction to Kol Nidrei, according to many, means that Bezdin, and there is a Bezdin there, the Chazan and the two people flanking the Chazan create a Bezdin. The first thing that they do is they are matir, they release the avaryanim, the people who've transgressed public policy, to allow them to come into Davin on Yom Kippur. Because if they walked in any other day, the gabbai would give it, make a klop and say, we are stopping davening until he leaves. We're not going to have, if he doesn't, they'll forcefully remove him. Because they knew that nidui is a very powerful tool in gaining compliance for rabbinic edicts and for township laws. So the reason why we released him was because maybe the spirit of Yom Kippur will convince him to make amends and to do what he's supposed to do. So if right after Yom Kippur he makes amends, he's supposed to release him right away, even if he was put into cheirem 2 days before. But that's what Tosfos says. The chain, now what about, that's somebody for nidui, but what about somebody who made a neder? Who made a neder? So we'll use the regular, we'll use the same thing about somebody who made a neder. Okay? Somebody made a neder, he's never taking a shave. Never taking a shave. So, the chain, misha nishal lechacham, mukim le kishiba b'chol ha-moed. In all the cases, he's coming on chol ha-moed to be released. That's nice. How does Tosfos answer the question? What could he have done?
Come before.
He came on chol ha-moed. That was Tosfos' whole question. So this is Satan's even more puzzling. Why is Tosfos trying to tell us the reason why you are allowed to take a haircut is because he was first released on Chol HaMoed? Yeah, he first came to the Bezdin on Chol HaMoed. So what does it mean here? Well, must be, others try to put words into Tosfos, that it means that he wanted to do it on Erev Yontov or days before. But can an average dude be matir neder? No. What do you have to do? You have to go to a chacham. And the chacham wasn't around on Erev Yontif. That's what Tosfos means. Not that he didn't come to be matir the neder. If there was a chacham, that was Tosfos' whole question. Why are we going to allow him to wait until Chol HaMoed to release him of the neder? Yeah, he should have gone on Erev Yontif and found the chacham and found him. Answer, there was no. Therefore, he couldn't come to us to be released from his neder, and the first available time was on Chol HaShemoed. Or, inami, lifnei hamoed, lo matza bo pesach. Lo matza bo pesach. Stop right there. He couldn't come up with an appropriate pesach. You have to have an excuse for Beis Din to be Matir Neder. You cannot simply say, I changed my mind. That doesn't work for Hatara. Does not work for Hatara. It only works if there is a Pesach. So let's fabricate a case for such a case. Okay? So somebody yesterday announced their engagement. No, let's say it was Chol HaMoed. Sunday of Chol HaMoed, somebody announced their engagement. Okay, so now an engagement today doesn't mean engagement. You already know where the wedding is, who the caterer is, what the menu is going to be. And the guy says, oh my God, he made a nether, he wasn't going to shave. Now, suddenly on Chol HaMoed, and he made this nether a long time ago, and he wanted to change it. But he couldn't find an excuse. Now he suddenly has a Pesach. What's the Pesach? Had I known that my daughter was getting engaged, my son's getting out, I'm going to have to show up at the wedding and walk down the aisle and spend a lot of money. I don't want to look a slob. I'm paying good money for a photographer. I would never have made the nether. Oh! So when did this situation which generated the Pesach for him come about? On Chol HaMoed. Therefore, under those circumstances, we can't hold him accountable for not coming to the Chacham, who was available, but there was nothing for him available to use as a Pesach to release him of that vow. And as a result, we are now going to release him on Chol HaMoed, and he can take a shave. That's the first part of Tosfos. But yes?
With the Nidui part in Tosfos' formulation, what happens at the end of his 30 days? Is that like a 30-day sentence, or does it just keep going?
No, it keeps going.
It keeps going.
Tosfos generates the impression that even if he was willing to make amends, minimum Nidui is 30 days. If he doesn't, he'll stay there for years. He will stay there for years. And anybody who's caught talking to this person socially is also put into Nidui. Anybody who does commercial business with him, put into Nidui. Comes into a store, you're supposed to ignore him. So, supposed to ignore him. Ever happened to you where a proprietor says, I'm not selling anything? Happened to me once. Right? I was at that time in Deal, and the pizza guy's son, we had to ask him to leave the school. Okay. I went in to buy a piece of pizza. He says, "Ani lo mocher otcha klum." Okay, we took care of him. The whole school boycotted him. He served me pizza very quickly. So that's what Beis Din does. Beis Din does that. So guy don't cooperate. That's it. Says Tosfos, "Vigiluach harosh." Nami Osir B'moed. Shaving your hair, your head, is also on Chol HaMoed. Even though the halachic terminology for a haircut is not Ligaleach. What is it? Tisporet. Tisporet.
It's a haircut.
That's a haircut. Exactly. Giluach is usually a shave. So, for example, in Tanis, where they talk about not taking a haircut after Rosh Chodesh Av, the Gemara doesn't say Giluach, it says Tisporet is Asur. Taking a haircut is Asur on that time. But it is no doubt, there's an Isur that if our Mishnah says you're not supposed to shave, you're also not allowed to take a haircut. The question is, are we going to make an exception about a haircut for the guys who couldn't take a haircut because there was no barber in jail, there was no barber on the boat? Are we going to make the same? Because the Mishnah always uses the word ligaleach. So Tosfos is being a little sensitive now. Does that include haircuts as well as shaves? So Tosfos says that giluach harosh is also awesome. Da'ama b'gemara shelo yikansu l'regel menuvalin. Why are you not allowed to take a shave on Chol HaMoed? Because you'll look like a slobo. Ve'ein lecha nivul gadol mizeh. There is no greater nivul than have long hair. Have a long hair. So under those circumstances, that's also in right.
Tosfos is now calling a haircut giluach harosh.
Yes. And Now, what is he set up if he's making this equation? That if there is a reason to allow what?
Shaving.
A shave, what else is there a reason to allow? Okay. A haircut as well. Because it's the same thing. The only reason why it is prohibited at this stage of Tosfos is what reason? What's the only reason why it's usur? Shlo yikanes l'regel tishum enuvah. Come in with long hair under those circumstances, that looks like slovenly look. However, and that's why if he has a legitimate reason, any of the things listed in the Mishnah, we will allow not only a shave, but a haircut as well. Vishema, however, says Tosis, Loikoi tama bigamara elasha ara, aval giluach shel rosho, asur mishum milocha afilu bimakom ones. Says Tosfos, and I'm glad everybody's looking at Tosfos with a little difficulty. Giluach harosh is usur, even if there are compelling circumstances why you didn't do it erev yontif. Why? Because giluach harosh is a real milacha. And what is shaving? Shaving is not such a real milacha. Let's see what Tosfos is going to try to worm out of this. Milacha. Ushar giluach deboi bigamara. The other forms of shaving, which the Gemara is discussing, my taima asurin, hainu giluach shel yipui. That's just what? Trimming your hair, right, to look good. But it's not really a malacha. The hevelon lemishlei ritzorech hamoe. Just to trim a little, we should have what? We should have allowed you to do it, litzorech hamoe. Afal pi shehi melacha, even though it also is a melacha. Tosfos can't get away from the fact that taking a trim of a shave or trim of a beard is just as much gozes as what? As cutting a haircut. Taking a haircut. Well, of course, there's no difference. Aval giluach kol harosh asur mishum melacha. Vahani kigon nazaru mitzora hu deshari mishum mitzvah. So Tosfos knows very well that even though it's asur mishum giluach, it's malacha, if the Torah tells you at the end of the Nazirus that you have to cut your hair, or a mitzorah at the end of his tumaso, part of the taharas to bring various karbanot, sprinkle the blood al tenuch ozen hayamanit on his right earlobe, and vigilach is kol sa'aro, so there's a mitzvah saseh, he's got to do it. So there's no excuses not to. That I'll allow. But anybody, the other guys, who just want to take a haircut because they want to clean up their look, even though it also will be liyapot, I'm not going to allow it. Because that's a real malacha.
So what are the categories according to Tosfos?
I can't really define them.
There's giluach harosh.
There's giluach harosh.
Giluach hazakein.
Right.
And then there's this trimming thing.
This trimming thing. Because giluach shel yipui.
So Giluach HaRosh is never allowed.
Never allowed.
Giluach
HaZakein.
Except for Nazir and Mitzvah.
Okay, because it's a mitzvah.
Because it's a mitzvah.
Giluach HaZakein is a real malacha, but
right.
Those guys we allow.
Correct.
And Yipui.
Everybody else should have been allowed also.
For Giluach HaZakein or Yipui?
Giluach HaZakein. But he's calling Giluach HaZakein. That's called Yipui. He says, She'ar kol bis, all others, She'ara, everything except for cutting the hair is called Giluach shel Yipui. That should have been allowed for everybody, L'tzorech HaMoed. Because it looks like you need it for the second days of Yantiv.
How about for Yan Yantiv itself?
No.
Having the Tzorech, you have your own Tzorech, and there's a whole Nefesh type of aspect.
Okay, but this, the Torah itself tells us, there's a halacha, there's a long sugya about what type of malachas, not even all ochel nefesh malachas are mutter. According to Tosfos, for example, only two malachas of Sidur in the past, the last two, Lisha and Afia. But you're not allowed to grind, you're not allowed to do borer, all of these things, even though it's mamish l'tzorech ochel nefesh are mutter. So this is certainly not going to be mutter.
So
yeah.
Giluach HaZakein and Yipui, trimming, are both actual malachas.
Actual malachos, but we allow them litzorech hamoed. It should have been mutter for everybody. Why did we prohibit it for everybody? so that he shouldn't be lazy on Erev Yontif. So therefore, since everybody could have taken it, in theory, if not for that issue, would everybody be allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed? Yes. So since everybody would have been allowed, when you have an Ones on Erev Yom Tov, I will restore that which should have been allowed for everybody. Tosfos does not explain why this Malacha remains Usur, that's Piluach Kol HaRosh. This Malacha, which is just as much Gozes, would be mutter because that's shalipui. Why?
And regular trimming, which he agrees is not a malacha, is not permitted all the time, he doesn't tell us.
No, it is a malacha.
No, there's regular trimming?
He says it's still malacha. That's what he writes.
Which one? So they're all three malachas.
They're all malachas.
They're different types.
That's correct. But there are certain types of malacha that we would have allowed on Chol HaMoed, if they can be defined as yipui litzorech hamoed.
So yes. Piluach HaRosh is not yipui. It's got some. It's not even a tesporet. It's got some other.
I know.
Quality.
Yeah, that's correct. Which is a little difficult to understand. He's seemingly making up these arbitrary categories. If somebody's got a lot of hair, so then cutting his hair is yipui.
No, this is not cutting hair. This is shaving.
Okay, I understand. Maybe well, today that's
the skull is that, way beyond.
That's correct. So Tosfos has taken a prejudice against baldies. Today, guys shaving their heads, a lot of guys do that. Yeah, guys in shul do it. You know, shave their heads bald. Tosfos doesn't like it. He calls that a malacha gemura.
Tosfos fit this into the Mishnah because he's creating all these definitions.
I grant you, the Mishnah doesn't say one word about this. Not one word about it. Yeah?
You made up categories without any parameters.
What is that?
He made up categories without any parameters.
That's correct. In fact, yeah, if you go for a second, take a look at the Taz on page number 5 for a minute. I mean the Prima Gadin. And it's a cutting days. At the end of the first line, V'hamegaleach b'chol ha-moed kol ha-rosh mashma lich-ora deles isur toira kiyem midrabanan shelo yehei minovo. So what does he say? That even cutting off what? Shaving your head completely is not an Issur d'oraisa, but it's only Issur midrabbanan. Why? Why would we allow you to take a haircut and shave your head on Chol HaMoed? So you shouldn't be a menuvel the last day of Yontif. Correct. I don't see any difference, he says. But he emphasizes that the reason why we would allow it is because, by definition, melacha on Chol HaMoed is only asur midrabbanan. But the implication is, and he says it almost specifically later, if it would have been asur midoraisa, then you can't make any such distinctions. Oh, you know what? Liyapot, for Yipui, we're going to allow. If it's a malacha, it's a malacha, and it's asur midoraisa. End of discussion. End of discussion. And then he continues and says, V'ayin beis Yosef, b'mashikasa b'ayid aveda, it's something else. L'mandi alma melechas kolomoyed, d'oraisa yeshlami d'asur min ha-toyra, haynu giluach kolorosh. V'ayin elo rabba u'besimin tav kuf lamed b'magen avram de la ramban kol she'ein tzorech hamoed min hatoyra asa. Anything that is not related to tzorech yom tov, that's asur midoraisa. If it's l'tzorech hamoed, then it was only asur midrabbanan, and the rabbanan allowed. V'yesh lomar d'giluach kol haroish in kol kach yipui. That's not really a nice
style.
Exactly, a style.
Isn't that subjective?
Machlokes is barbers.
Isn't that subjective?
Paisus the barber and the Prima Gadam the barber. Oy melacha she'efshe la'asosa me'erev yom tov af ba'ochal nefesh yesh omrim dimin atayra asr. And here he goes even one step further, gets himself a lot of trouble, that if it could have been done in Erev Yontov, doesn't mean we're going to allow it on Cholosh HaMoed, because even Oichol Nefesh, which the halacha is against him 1,000%, even if you could have cooked everything on Erev Yontov, there is no mitzvah to do so by Oichol Nefesh. It's only by extraneous type of activities, not by real Oichol Nefesh. But anyhow, the Primigadim takes this position where he's obviously against Tosfos, and wants to say that Yiluach HaKol HaRosh is not such a yipui issue. It's not, maybe it is yipui, but maybe not so much yipui. Okay, fine.
Taking a shave.
Yeah, I agree with you. It should make no difference whatsoever.
It's like taking a shave.
Right?
It's one category.
That is correct. Should be that way. Yes.
So why doesn't even the Ritva qualify traveling Meginas Hayam to be Letzorach Yantif? You're traveling from outside the city, forget about too far away, but if you're doing Letzorach Yantif, therefore it's a Ptur and Chol HaMoed as a possibility.
So, what's the problem?
But it's not qualified. It's any kind of travel for any reason.
Some discussion about that. What was the reason why you had to travel in the first place and arrive on? Was it l'schora? Was it just for pleasure? There is some discussion about that. Is some. I didn't focus on it tonight, but there is some discussion about that. Maybe next week we'll cover that. So, yeah. Okay. Now, tisporet, is the Lashon HaMishneh for a haircut. The Torah always calls everything as lehitgaleach, as I quoted the pasuk, vigilach et rosho by Nazir, or vigilach et kol sa'aro in relationship to a mitzorah. So the Torah only knows of one shave. It's more of the Mishnah's expression about medalchin and taking a haircut. But herein lies the difference between giluach and haircut in the Rav's understanding of why you're allowed to shave on Cholosh HaMoed without any of these excuses. So the Rav always said that in North America, where people shave, at least for business, every single day, so if you're going to preclude somebody from shaving on Cholosh HaMoed, even because you want him to shave on Erev Yontif, well, today, in today's day and age, even if you shave on Erev Yontif, by the time the last day of Yontif comes, you're going to look like you're in the seventh day of Shiva, Rachmana Litzlan. So therefore the Rav says today you're allowed to, and on Erev, the last day, Hoshana Rabbah, or fourth day of Chol HaMoed, it's a mitzvah to shave on Cholosh HaMoed. That's what the Rav always said. Because otherwise you look like all the whole yeshiva world looks like they just got up out from Shiva. But no one agrees with him. Because, as I said, there's no Gemara, no Rambam, no Shulchan Aruch that says you're allowed to take a shave because of that consideration. But the Rav said, since the Gemara is abundantly clear why you're not allowed to take a shave on Cholosh HaMoed, therefore, Rabbanim have the right to say, in our day and age, this reason doesn't apply any longer.
But again, the yeshiva shevel, it makes no sense. That's what I was getting at the beginning. If the goal is to look nice for the first day of Yontif,
correct?
Okay, then you would think there should be a restriction. Okay, starting a certain days before Yontif, you're not allowed to do all this preparatory work, so that when you come into Erev Yontif, you look good, and we expect you to look good for an extended period of time. But if they already knew then that they want you to do it Erev Yontif, then what's the thought process of Erev second days? It's completely unimportant. I'm agreeing with you.
I don't know. You have to be bold enough to paskin against the Shulchan Aruch.
The Shulchan Aruch says you can't shave.
Ein megalchin b'moed, because quotes the Mishnah.
And it makes no...
Doesn't make such an mistake, because at that time it didn't look so terrible after 7 days without a shave. That's the difference. Plus, there is a Rabbeinu Tam. If you go to page number 3 for a minute, Beis Yosef quotes a Rabbeinu Tam, which everybody disagrees with. But if the Rav can use this in his back pocket at least. Page number 3, the Beis Yosef. V'Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, Kevan Shezehu Hatam. Since the reason is explicitly formulated in the Gemara. Many times, Takanot and Gzeros, we don't know the reason. The Rabbanan just tell us, don't do something. It's the famous story of the Rabbi Shmuel. Right? The Mishnah says, you're not supposed to read Lo Yikra Lo'or Haner. You're not supposed to sit and read right at a candle on Shabbos. Why not? We think, the Mishnah doesn't say why, we think it's Gzera Shema Yate, that if the light would begin to flicker, what's going to happen? You're gonna adjust it. Rabbi Shmuel said, Kara, I know I'm not going to adjust it. And what happens? He read, and he adjusted it. So all Rishonim say, never read into a reason into a Takanas Chacham. Because you think you know the reason, and you're going to say, I'm exempt from it, I'm immune from this concern. And look what happened to Rabbi Shmuel, he violated Nisa Darabana. And he said, D'Oraisa, because if you fix the flickering thing, that's Havara. That's Asa Midoraisa. So, but here, the Gemara itself, as we'll read it inside, says it black on white. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, Kevin Shezeu Atam, Im Kvar Gilech Kodem Hamoed, Mutu Legaleach B'moed. Rabbeinu Tam goes one step further. That if you follow the rabbinic will, what did they want by saying that you're not permitted to shave on Cholo Shomoed? To guarantee what? Take a shave on Erev Yontif. Says the Rabbeinu Tam, if you took a shave on Erev Yontif, you did what they wanted. Now if you want to shave, be my guest. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says.
That would make more sense.
Zekasha me'od lahatir. Says the Beis Yosef, it is very, very difficult. V'gameni niro kach mitoicha gemara. The imkain have a leila farta. Somewhere in this parak, they should have said that. That if you follow the Chachamim's rule and shave the Erev Yontif, you're allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Gemara doesn't make any such case. But that was Rabbeinu Tam, who was one of the most bold, daring Rishonim around. One of the most daring Rishonim around.
That would make sense if it was like more like a kenas that you can't shave on Chol HaMoed.
It's a gzeira midrabanan.
But if for a kenas, then that would make more sense. As opposed to for, you know, as like a low cloak.
Okay, that's what he all said. He says it is a loy plug. That's what the Beis Yosef's response is.
As opposed to a kenas, where
okay,
you say,
I hear.
There's no kenas.
I hear. Yeah. Now, if you look, go back to the Tosis for 1 second. Look how Tosis does a turnaround. Ulefi zeh, which we left off, right after the line below the gimel. The line below the gimel, the parentheses in the gimel. Ulefi zeh osul galeach rosha b'moed. V'od yesh lefaresh, shenira shemuta legaleach rosha b'moed. What happened to what he said 5 seconds ago? He just changes his mind without giving what? Without what? Giving any reason for it. He just simply changes his mind.
He read what he wrote and realized it was wrong.
Okay, that's possible. But he should have said something, you know? I don't particularly like what I just said, if I'm going to change it. But he comes to a conclusion, Ulefizeh, also the galeach rosh b'moed. Inami muta legaleach rosh b'moed. What was running through his mind 5 seconds ago before he wrote these lines, and what's running through his mind now? All of a sudden, he comes to the suddenly, you know, undecked America, discovered America, let me say, undecked America. You know, well, it's okay. Very difficult. It's very, very difficult. Very difficult. But why Tosis just changed his mind, and I don't have a good answer for it. And how he just changed his mind. Yeah. So if you take a look at page number 4 for a minute, which is the Beis Yosef in Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph, I bracketed his citation of the Rambam, where our Mishnah doesn't happen to talk about this, but it's the Gemara will later on, because we'll see it later on in the parak, because it follows the pattern of the Mishnah. The Harambam Kasab Beperek Zayin Mehilchos Yontif. Kol mi she'i efshar lo legaleach u lechabes be'erev yomtov, hareza mutu lechabes u legaleach b'moed. Anybody who could not take a haircut or shave or do his laundry on Erev Yontov, such a person is allowed to launder and take a shave on Chol HaShemoed. Ketzad. Ovel Shechol Shvi'i Shelo Sheyios B'Yomtov. Somebody was sitting Shiva, and Yontov is going to be Mafsik, the Shiva. So under those circumstances, on Erev Yontov, he's still an Ovel, he can't shave. O Shechol Lios Be'erev Yomtov V'Hareyu Shabbos. Erev Yontov happened to have been Shabbos. So he couldn't, nobody could have taken a shave on Erev Yontov under those circumstances. She'i Afshel L'Galeach. Under those circumstances, he is permitted to shave on Chol HaShemoed. V'kosav HaRav HaMagid, Mashinimtza B'Sifrei Rabbeinu, She'im Chol Shvi'i Shelo Lios B'Yomtov, Shehu Migaleach B'Moed, Hu Ta'o Sofer. That's got to be a mistake in the Rambam. Why would the Magid Mishnah say, without necessarily finding a different girsa in a Rambam, which there possibly is, why would he necessarily claim that it's a mistake?
So that would be a Doraisa, no?
Why would he claim it's a mistake?
That you're allowed to, if your last day of Shiva falls out on Yontif or Shabbos.
Not the second case. He has no issue with if it's Shabbos. The first case, Chal Yom Shvi'i Shelo B'Yomto. On that first case,
you only do a Mitzvah Hayom Kukulo.
What?
Mitzvah Hayom Kukulo.
Okay, so we say Mitzvah Hayom Kukulo if it's the seventh day. So if this is the seventh day, we say Mitzvah Hayom, and he could have taken a shave when in the afternoon, or. Let's assume it's the third day of the Shiva. So, what's going to happen to the Shiva on Yom Tov? As soon as you... When is the person allowed to shave if Yom Tov is going to be Mevatel the Shiva? He's allowed to... Not Ben Hashmash, that's too late. But Erev Yom Tov, Samach L'Shkia, he's allowed to take a shave already. That's the difference between Shiva and Shloishim. If Yom Tov is not... going to be if Yontif is going to be Mevatel Shloshim, under those circumstances you need Yontov itself to take effect, so he cannot shave then until Chol HaMoed or after Yontif. Can't. But if it's to be Mevatel the Shiva, and the explanations are many, but that's why the Magad Mishnah says this has got to be a mistake. Because if Chal Shvi'i Shelo, and the Rambam means really Shvi'i, then everybody holds Mitzvah Hayom Kukuloi on the last day of the Shiva. Everybody holds that. And if it's not the real last day, but it's the last day of observing, close to Shkia Sachama, you're also allowed to take a shave. But haircuts, you can't. Why can't you take a haircut? Because the halacha by a haircut is that
Haverim Goarimbo?
Correct. You need the halacha is a minimum of shloishim, and then achiyigo by chaveri. So achiyigo by chaveri can be well after till somebody, a good friend of yours, tells you, a casual friend tells you you need a haircut. You're disgusting. So that's usually not going to happen if you started. The only way that the yontif can be mevatel the shloishim, if that's the only thing, is if it's after Shiva was observed in full. So now the most you have is another 21 days, and Yigo by Chaveira is not going to happen from one day to the next. So Chachamim say, wait till after Yontif, and that's it. But that's an illustration of how the Rambam wants to apply this din. If the wording of the Rambam were correct, such a person could not have taken a haircut or a shave on Erev Yontif, because he's still in the midst of Avelus. Such a person is allowed to shave then on Cholos HaMoed. But I want to show you this, because even though this is the example of the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah claims there's got to be a mistake, because La Halacha, based on the Rambam's own Halacha, if it's the last day of Yontif on Erev, on Erev Yontif, last day of Shiva, that we say Mitzvah Kekula, and as a result, you can't do so. You still have plenty of time.
But he's still in Shloshim.
Correct. So
shaven.
That's okay. So that's another issue.
He's not a parent.
So what? No, but it's even shloshim means for not a parent. Yeah. So it's got to continue a little. That's why. There's the halacha. That's another reason why shloshim it can't be. But let's assume he had, another excuse. Let's say the parent died right before. He was already needed a haircut way then. So now it's another 7 days, but he needed it way back then. He was planning on taking a haircut, then suddenly went into Avelus, so some little makel in relationship to Yom Tov. The Rambam would. All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue next of us. Oh, hold on a second. Next Monday night is Rabbi Wiener's wedding, so the shir will be Tuesday night next week. I don't want to cancel, but it'll be Tuesday night.